Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study from Acts chapter 14. As we began with verse 8, we entitled our study, Lessons from Lystra. And we covered lessons on obedience. Man is not saved by faith alone or grace alone, but we must submit to God's grace. And then we covered a lesson on superstition. We're not to be superstitious people. If we're enlightened with the truth, we certainly shouldn't. And then we covered a lesson on worship. Only God is to be worshiped, and certainly we all should see that. We covered a lesson on repentance. We need to turn away from sin, submitting to God's will. And we covered a lesson on free will. That is, man has the ability to choose to obey God or disobey God. We all better be making the right choice and obey God, of course. So we want to pick back up with verse 17 and continue our study of lessons from Lystra, and we'll do just that in a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's the most important thing we can be doing. So hopefully all of us are doing just that. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That is, in truth, but also with a proper attitude, that is, in spirit, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, boy, would we appreciate that opportunity. And, of course, if you have Bible questions, they're always appreciated. Your comments as well, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get back into our study of lessons from Lystra. We're in Acts chapter 14. And just to get the context, we're going to, of course, pick up with verse 17, but let's notice what had just happened as we studied last week. The priest of Jupiter was ready to make sacrifice with the people, thinking that Paul and Barnabas were Greek gods come down as men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. Well, of course, Paul and Barnabas refused to be worshipped, as we studied. And they ran into among the people crying out, "Sirs, why do you do these things? Of course, we're just like you with like passions." And then they wanted them to turn from the vanities that they were holding on to and turn to the living God. And that would be repentance, wouldn't it? And then we saw that in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. In other words, God gave man free will. Now, we come to verse 17. Nevertheless, going back to verse 16, again, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So here's another lesson from Lystra. And this would be on making excuses. And man is without excuse if he rejects God, because Paul made it very clear that God has not left himself without witness. Certainly there in Lystra, And in his inspired letter to the church at Rome, he made it clear as well, and we want to look at that. But of course, God has not left himself without witness to us all as we observe the creation. Therefore, there has to be a creator. But notice now Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so many are doing sadly just that, are they not? Well, notice verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's the bottom line, isn't it? No one has an excuse that has a mind to reason to reject God, because the evidence is there and it's clearly seen. But what do we have today in our nation's classrooms? Well, evolution is being taught as fact, isn't it? Well, I think if we're honest, we're going to have to say yes, that's what's being done, unless your children are being homeschooled or go to a private school that does not teach evolution. If it's a public school, evolution is going to be taught. Now, thankfully, there are some sound teachers that hold on to the truth, and they won't teach it. They refuse because they know it's not true. They know what the Bible says is true. God created all things in 6 literal days. But you see, if you try to talk about intelligent design in our schools, our public schools, our universities, what's going to happen? Well, they don't want to hear that. And so they don't have an excuse rejecting the truth. And we need to support those who are standing solid on the truth and will not budge. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It's being declared, and everyone should see it. Everyone that is able to reason. 1 John 5:9-10. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. There it is. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. I don't want to be in that classification, do you? We shouldn't ever want to be in that classification of believing not God and believing not the record that God gave of him, of his Son. The Bible stands solid as a rock. The evidence is there for anyone to see, that's of an open mind. No one should miss it. No one should miss it. And so again, a lesson on making excuses. Man is without excuse if he rejects God. But let's go on and notice another lesson from Lystra as we continue with verse 17, the latter part. You see why, of course, man is not with an excuse, as the witness is there, and that is in that God did what? He did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Therefore, here's a lesson on being thankful. Man should be thankful to God. Paul certainly appreciated the physical blessings of life because he knew that God provided them. The rain, the sunshine, the seasons, the earth, and all the blessings that everyone receives. Notice what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Even the atheist receives these blessings in a physical sense. These physical blessings of life are being provided by God, and therefore every one should be thankful to God. How many today could care less about the countless blessings that God has bestowed upon us? Isn't it tragic? Notice back in Romans 1 again, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then man comes up with the theory, I wouldn't even call it a theory, a hypothesis, that man evolved from lower species. Hogwash. We're created in the image of God. And let's never forget it. And be thankful for everything that we have in this life and our very life itself. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by his authority, in other words. Notice, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Are we following that verse and doing just that? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It should be a part of our daily lives. Yes, being thankful to God, for he has blessed us in so many ways. But let us go on and look at another lesson from Lystra, as we'll pick back up with verses 18 and 19. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Remember, they wanted to do that, but Paul and Barnabas would not accept it. And now verse 19, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And so here's a lesson on evangelism. Man should persuade others to obey God rather than turn on those speaking the truth. Yes, Paul was an inspired apostle preaching the truth, and Barnabas, who was working with him, they were preaching and teaching the truth. Notice what Paul said in Galatians 1, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received the gospel from Christ himself, and that's what he was preaching. And here you have these Jews thinking they were God's people, yet they were opposed to the doctrine of Christ. They had rejected Christ, and now they want to stop the spread of the gospel. But notice Paul, in writing to the Church of Christ at Rome, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice that, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There's one gospel for both. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The gospel of Christ, that's the power, and we cannot be ashamed of it and please God. And certainly, the gospel is for all. We sometimes sing that great hymn. Yes, it's for all. But it started with the Jews first on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Yes, they were to do the same things that we're to do today. But some want to say, well, that was only for the Jews to repent and be baptized, every one of them. But you see, That is false as it can be, because the Gentiles are to do the same thing. You'll notice Cornelius and his household, they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. The Philippian jailer, he's a Gentile. He was baptized the same hour of the night. You see, people don't often go to the verses preceding that he believed. They stop there and think that was all he did. Let's not take the scriptures apart. Let's keep them as they are and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that is accountable unto salvation. But notice how many people today are opposing the truth rather than spreading the gospel of Christ, just like they were doing there in Lystra, hindering the spread of the gospel. And I don't want to be in that situation, do you? I don't want to be a hindrance. I want to be preaching and teaching the truth. And if I'm not, I want to be corrected and shown by the scriptures. That's not right, Bob. I want to do what God would have me to do and stay with his word, no matter who does not. What about you? We all need to want to uphold the word of God, because it is badly needed by everyone who is of the age of accountability. Certainly we all should see that. But let us go on and notice another lesson, and that would be still here in verses 18 and 19, a lesson on deception. Man is easily deceived. You see how fickle-minded these people were? As one minute they were ready to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods, as Greek gods come down from the heavens, and the next moment they were ready to stone Paul to death. Isn't that a drastic change? Of course it is. And notice now Acts chapter 28. This is a similar situation, but it's just in reverse. And this would be starting with verse 1 of Acts chapter 8. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita, the shipwreck. Remember, Paul was on his way to Rome. And they all escaped safely to land because they stayed on the ship as God said they would have salvation only on the ship. And that's what happened. And verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Of course, little g. You see what happened? At first, he's a murderer, but then they changed their mind and now he's a god. Little g. Just the reverse of what happened as we're studying in Lystra. So let's ask this question. How many people today are being deceived by Satan, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Little g, the god of this world. That's referring to Satan, isn't it? So we don't want to be easily deceived like these fickle-minded people were. One minute they're ready to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods, and next they're ready to stone him to death. So let's take heed from this lesson. And now we're ready to go on to verses 20 and 21. And here's another lesson for us. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. And so here's a lesson on courage. Christians should be courageous. How thankful Paul must have been having those faithful brethren gathering around him at his time of need. It took courage on their part. They were risking being stoned themselves, possibly. Well, this is a lesson on courage, isn't it? Christians need to be courageous in the service of the Lord. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So let's take heed to this lesson of courage. Now, verse 22. Confirming the souls. That's what they were doing when they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Here's a lesson on exhortation. Barnabas was a great encourager, son of exhortation. That's why they named him Barnabas. Christians need to be exhorted. And so Paul and Barnabas, they did not allow persecution to keep them from confirming these souls. Remember what had just happened? Paul had been stoned, left for dead. Thankfully, the brethren gathered around him and took him out. Now he's going back to where this had happened in other places as well. To do what? To confirm those that obeyed the gospel and help them be grounded in the faith. Well, today it's not any different. We all need exhortation, every one of us. We need to be strengthened through instruction and comfort of our brethren. And we need to appreciate it. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Are we abounding more and more? Let's continue to exhort one another. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, here it comes, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4:2. Of course, we're to preach God's word whether people are wanting to hear it or whether they do want to hear it. That's in season and out of season, isn't it? What are we to do? Reprove, rebuke, and of course, exhort. That's the positive. We need that as well as the negative. Well, let's go on to verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Here's a lesson on God's pattern. Man must follow God's pattern to have eternal salvation. And Paul and Barnabas followed the pattern for the organization of the Lord's church as they ordained elders. Notice that, plural, in every church. There must be more than one. And they must meet the qualifications. Yes, and they're, of course, in Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3. Notice Titus 1:5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. So we too today must stay with the pattern of the New Testament in order to please God. Elders, of course, must meet the qualifications that are given in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Yes, this is the pattern. And never is there to be just one elder. The word pastor is referring to like where the sheep, of course, pasture. The sheep are in the pasture and elders are pastors over the sheep, over the flock. They're guarding against false teachers. And they're also called presbyters. It's the office of a bishop. They're overseers, all referring to the same office. Yes, and no one is just to be a pastor. the pastor. That's not scriptural. Where did that come from? Didn't come from the New Testament. Came from man. We better stay with the pattern that God has given us. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Notice that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That form of doctrine. There's a pattern that must be followed to please God. Philippians 3:16 as well. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We cannot do that unless we're going with the pattern of the New Testament. And that's what we all should agree with, of course, because that's God's will. So these are all lessons from Lystra to be applied to our lives today. Are we doing that? We certainly should. And as we've covered these lessons, now let's ask this question. Have we been washed by the blood of the Lamb? That is, have we submitted to the gospel of Christ by hearing the truth? Romans 10:17, that's how our faith is to come. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, making it all possible. Mark 16:16, he that believeth. But it doesn't stop there, does it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. After believing that Jesus is the Christ, now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills, doing the will of God. Acts 17:30. Certainly they were told that on the day the church began in Acts 2:38. So many other verses could be given. Yes, Luke 13:3-5. We must repent and make a change of wills. Having done that, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10 make it clear it's not there where you're saved. The moment you confess is not when you're saved. It's unto salvation. And no one should miss that. So there's another step to contact the blood of Christ, and that's baptism. Remember Mark 16:16, we just quoted, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be saved came after baptism, because we must contact the blood of Christ to be forgiven of our sins. And as you go to Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Have we submitted to the gospel of Christ? Have we been buried into the death of Christ, where we contact his precious blood as he shed his blood in his death? That's, of course, in John 19:33-34. We need to appreciate the commands of God and submit to them and have salvation. After we're baptized into Christ, he adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death, Revelation 2:10. We'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.